welcome back to the Monday after Memorial Day. And there's been a lot that I've learned over the past couple weeks. And it's not necessarily that I learned it as in I learned something new, but it's interesting how you can learn things, the same thing over and over and over again, and it will implement deeper and deeper and deeper every single time you relearn it. So I'm going to take a break from Psalm 119 just for a few minutes today, and I want to talk about living in sin. And I just want to remind you, it's not even going to be a sermon, it's just going to be a reminder. Listen, we need to remember that we are no longer a slave to sin if we are saved. Now, if you aren't saved, and by that saved, I mean if you have not accepted Jesus Christ to be the one and only way of salvation from hell, salvation from eternal death, and not only does he save you from that because he died on the cross and rose again, but he also can save you from hell and let you live forever with him. If you have not made that initial act of salvation, that's what we mean by salvation, then this means nothing to you. You need to get that right, because if you have not made that initial act of salvation, you in fact are a slave to sin. But us that are saved, us that have made that act of trust and faith in God, we ought not to be living defeated in sin. So Romans chapter 5, and we're going to begin more towards the end of the chapter. Let me tell you what it's been about so far. Romans chapter 5 talks about how by one man, sin enters into the world. By one man, that being Adam. Okay, when Adam was made, he sinned. And by that sin, sin passed on from generation to generation. And we all now have this sin nature. But by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So also has one man came and mutilated sin. Death, all of it is gone. And that man is Jesus Christ. And we're going to begin in verse 19. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Listen, this is a very important promise. And when you think about this, when you really let it sink into your heart, one man's disobedience ruined your life. Adam's disobedience ruined our lives. Now, it's not only Adam's fault, because we all have this sin nature now. But listen, his sin did ruin our lives, in fact. But by the obedience of the one who loved us, our life is made new. By the obedience, what do you mean? Well, Jesus did not have to go on the cross, but he obeyed the Father. He said, not my will, but your will, God. Why? Why did Jesus do this? So that we can have life forever. So that we have purpose in our life. Because by one man, all of our purpose is gone. By one man, everything is awful. But by a different man, by one man's obedience to the Father, we now have hope. And not only that, but by his obedience, we have hope. But it also says, by the obedience of one shall, that's the key word right there, shall many be made righteous. Listen, you can be made righteous. And it's not that by one man's obedience, it's not that they might be made righteous. No, you will be made righteous. Now, there's two ways you can be made righteous. One is that you can humble yourself while you're living on this earth and you can abide with him today, and then in that you will be made perfect. Abraham's faith made him perfect. Look, I am not a perfect person. You don't have to dig that deep into my life to find places where I struggle. But listen, but I am found righteous. How do I know that? Because I have faith. And my faith is counted for righteousness, just like Abraham was. Abraham was a friend of God because of his righteousness, because of his faith. You will be made righteous, and you can either be made righteous that way, or you can go and you can sin, and you can not want to abide with God, and you can kind of push him away and be made righteous in the fact that God will call you home and you'll be called to heaven with him. But God will bring you home. God wants you to be perfect, and he will be made perfect. So that means you can be made perfect here on earth like he intends to, or you can keep living in your sin, and you can keep doing the sin unto death, and God will, I promise you, God will call you home. If you have a stubborn heart and you cannot be used of God anymore because you have purposefully went away from his calling. So you will be made perfect. This verse is true. You will be made perfect. But are you going to choose to do it here on earth and have a wonderful relationship between you and God? Or are you going to refuse to do it here on earth and God will take you home and you will be made perfect in heaven? It's your choice. Now listen, we're going to jump down to chapter 6. We're going to keep reading in verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Yes, you have sin. Yes, you have problems. But where your sin abounds, where your sin is, guess what? Grace much more abounds there. Now that you're saved. Yes, you have problems. Yes, you struggle. But listen, God's grace can wipe all of that clean if you let it. That's how you're made perfect. It's not that you don't sin, but it's when right when you sin, then you get it right. That's the way to perfection. That as sin, verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so may grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. Look, just as sure as your sin is going to bring you to your death if you don't get it right, you can have that amount of certainty that God will save you unto eternal life. If sin brings death, then grace brings life. And you have to choose to abide in that grace. Now, that's not to say that if you choose to forsake that grace after you're saved, that you're going to lose your salvation. But what it means is that you will be defeated. You won't live prosperously if you are stuck in this sin, if you choose to be stuck in the sin, because God's hand is here to save you. God's hand is ready with grace much more grace than you even need or deserve. He's ready to save you, but will you let him? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Okay, you need to listen, because that's the verse that I wanted to talk about specifically. And just really quick. If you die in this world, think about somebody who's just recently passed away. Can they live in this place anymore? It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible for somebody who's dead in this world to come back and live in this world. So listen, if you then are dead to sin, how can you live longer therein? How can you continue to live in this sin? Because you are saved out of it. You are dead to it. So quit trying to raise yourself back up from the dead and go back to that old life, because you are no longer a slave to that old life. You are now a child of God. And not only have you died in the world of sin, you are no longer slave to sin, so you're dead to it, but you are living in Christ. When you died to sin and you live to righteousness, you live with Christ, and it's abiding that you can have the peace that you know this world isn't anything. You get a peace of knowing that this world doesn't have anything to offer. And when you're dead to it, when you realize, hey, I'm dead to this. This is not my life. This is not what I'm supposed to be doing. When you're dead to it, you need to stay dead. Stay dead to it. The Bible says mortify the deeds of the flesh. Mortify it. That is cut it off. That is despise. That is hate. That is completely to make it disgust you. Why? Because if you're dead to your world, if you're dead to the sin of this world, you can live with God. You are a new creature. So quit trying to be resurrected in this sinful world, because listen, it's not worth it. You can see people that have done this and you can ask them and they'll tell you it's not worth it. It's so much better to abide. It's so much better to live with him. And it's so much better to know that you will be made righteous. You will be. That's a promise in verse 19 of chapter 5. So what you need to do is hold on to that promise. Don't let it go. Don't let God go until he blesses you with that promise. Because listen, if you hold up your end of the deal, you better bet God will. When God says that you will be made perfect, you better bet that you will be made perfect at some point. And maybe you're going through some struggles, but hey, so do I. And yet I know I'm being made perfect right now as we speak. Why? Because I'm abiding. Not because I'm anything great, but because I've seen the works of God that it's worth it. Stick by God. Don't try to live in this world anymore because you're dead to it. Hey guys, listen, we're saved. It's time to live like it. It's time to live like we're not owned by this world anymore. Owned by our flesh. Owned by our lusts. Owned by our discouragement. Owned by our attitudes. All of these things. Owned by our circumstances. We're not owned by these. What are we owned by? God. We are children of God. And not only children of God, but friends of God. And guys, if you choose to get your life right with God, you will prosper. So don't live in this earthly world anymore. It's time to mortify the flesh like God tells us to. And I promise you, your life will change. And as we end off yet another episode, I want to remind you of John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that's you, that's me, you can put your name in there, that he gave his only begotten son. Don't forget that you are loved by God. Don't let anybody tell you that you are not worth it, because you were worth enough that Jesus Christ bled and died on the cross for you. And don't forget, you can follow me on Instagram and DM me with any questions, comments, or concerns you might have on this episode, and I will gladly get back to you as soon as possible. So until next time, God bless.